You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Sleep. I love it. Love sleeping a lot. Love sleeping comfortably. That's why I sleep on a Casper mattress. Yeah, baby. Look, the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. Time magazine called them one of the best inventions of 2015. Why? Because Casper mattresses, which both Brad and I have and fucking love them because they're dope and comfy as shit. The sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design and is delivered in a small, hey, how did they do that, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. But how did they do it? An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper mattress. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's just got the right sink and the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool, so it helps regulate your temperature through the night. That's so dope. Look, mattresses, most of them cost $1,500 and up. Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin size, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. That's incredible. Start sleeping better and start sleeping better now. So go to www.casper.com/ALN and use the code ALN and get $50 off towards any mattress purchase now, all right? Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. If you don't like it, all right, you get a free return and a 100-night home trial, all right? So they'll pick it up and refund you everything if you don't like it after 100 days, all right? They understand the importance of sleeping better and, you know the commitment that comes with a mattress, especially if you're going to sleep on it for a third of your life. Go to www.casper.com/ALN, use the promo code ALN, and get $50 off towards any mattress purchase. And start sleeping better, baby. Because you deserve it. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Yeah, baby. We're back. Back with new episodes. New episode today. Just one. But a tune-in episode this week and maybe a bonus on Thursday. Who knows? Hope you had a great weekend. Had a good weekend of shows. Mom was in town. Seahawks won. Great weekend. Yeah. Feeling good. Today's episode is a really fun one. Trying to get more Mad TV cast members from the new Mad TV on. We had Piotr Michael, which was so good. You guys have been loving that episode. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Highlights include him reading Jaden Smith tweets as Ian McKellen and then narrating Brad trick-or-treating as Morgan Freeman. Piotr's story is great and so fun to have him on. More Mad TV cast members are coming up. Today's Mad TV cast member, she's young, she's pretty, she's hilarious, she's full of fucking energy, she's from Florida. Amir and I would tease her that she was a shitty Florida kid because she's so just adorably around all the time and full of energy and proactiveness, and she's going to be a big star. And her name is Carly Craig, making her ALN debut. From Florida, she grew up as in a tennis world. Her dad's a big tennis pro, a big tennis kid. She was in a all-girl pop band called Gem, which is incredible. Anybody who is ever in a pop group is just incredibly fascinating to me. She's an amazing impressionist, Ariana Grande being one of her specialties, which she does brilliantly and hilariously on the pod. Brad, of course, worked with Ariana Grande on Sam and Cat, so they share some great insights into Ariana Grande and all that. We also get into her Mad TV experience. You know, she did USA's First Impressions, that Dana Carvey show, and then was working as an assistant to Todd Recall, an incredible musician, YouTube sensation. And she was, you know, trying to get her own shit going and First Impressions. And then she was like, it's time for me to jump into the world and start trying to make this dream happen. Because, you know, being an assistant is a dope life because you get so many great experiences. But at some point you got to go, all right, what am I doing? Am I just going to do this or am I going to try to go after my own shit? And timing's everything, man. Got Mad TV. Boom, here she goes. And on top of being a great actress and a great comedian, she's got a one-woman show, a solo concert her debut solo show that she'll be doing on November 22nd in New York City at Feinstein's 54 Below. Can't recommend this enough. She's working her ass off on it. It's going to be amazing. Acting, singing, comedy. You know, there's few people that you want to go sit and watch for an hour plus, and Carly Craig is definitely one of those people I could watch do anything. She's just, you know, charismatic, pops on the screen. My nieces loved her. Polly Princess. Princess Polly. Fuck. I'm so tired. Princess Polly was, of course, one of her classic characters on the new Mad TV. My 7-year-old nieces loved it. She Skyped with them as Princess Polly, and I think now I can't do wrong. I think I could, like, wake my nieces up with, like, a blowtorch and burning all their Barbies, and they'd still be like, it's all good. You showed us Princess Polly. We got to can talk to her on the phone. So that show is called Small But Fierce, debuting at the Feinstein's 54 Below, November 22nd in New York City. Tickets are on sale at CarlyCraig.com. So get tickets to that. November 22nd, New York City, Carly Craig solo show. She'll also be doing some guest spots for me at Flappers in Burbank, California, October 28th. So come out and see her then. And she'll be at Gotham Comedy Club November 15th doing stand-up. So go see her and enjoy this episode. And go look up old episodes of Mad TV on Hulu if you haven't seen how fucking great she is. Also, follow her on Twitter at Carly Craig, Instagram at Carly Craig, CarlyCraig.com for all her her show details. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Ailen Podcast, all those Twitters, at Ailen Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Tour dates coming up. Brad Williams shooting a movie will not be on the road this weekend, which means he also won't be with me on the New Kids on the Block concert cruise. That's this weekend. I'm joining the New Kids cruise boat again. What am I doing? Oh, man. I'm a brave, brave soul. That is chaos that is unlike anything you've ever seen. But it's fun. And the New Kids put on a great show. They fill the entire 4 days with so many events. And I'm going to do some stand-up and some shows with my boy Joey McIntyre. It's going to be a blast. We've got some cool stuff planned and should be dope. Sad Brad's not coming, but I'll make up for it. Brad will be on tour, though, coming up. You can see him at Levity Live October 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th in Oxnard, California. The new Levity Live in Oxnard, California. Go see Brad. Get your tickets at levitylive.com. And then November 2nd through the 5th, Brad is at the Comedy Works downtown in Denver, Colorado. November 2nd through the 5th. Get your tickets at comedyworks.com and go see Brad in Denver, Colorado. I will be on the New Kids Cruise this weekend. And then next weekend, I'm starting to headline every weekend through New Year's. So October 27th, 28th and 29th, I'm headlining Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. October 28th and 29th, headlining Flappers for the first time, two shows each night. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. Then that following weekend, I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania at Junior's Last Laugh in Erie, Pennsylvania, November 3rd through the 5th. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. That following weekend, November 10th through the 12th, I'm at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City, baby. First time. So pumped. Wise Guys, November 10th through the 12th, adamraytv.com. All the rest of tour dates, Magoobies, Tempe Improv, Punchline in Sacramento, Las Vegas, Laugh Factory, all those dates at adamraytv.com. Come see me. And when you come see Brad and I, go to Astoria Merchandise before you come see us and get all your ALN merch, hats, shirts, mugs, posters. If you haven't been there, go check it out. We got some really dope merch and shirts and logos. And it's just, it's fun. It's a way to support the pod. Spread the good word. Show that you love us. Come to the shows. We'll sign that shit for you. Take a picture, and you could be fan of the week. Which today's fan of the week, this week's fan of the week, is Laura Norman. Holy shit. She tweeted, wasn't the best idea to listen to ALN Podcast with Kyle Kinane while driving. I was laughing so much I was crying. Hilarious. Thank you. That was such a fun episode. And thanks for tweeting at us, because you are this week's fan of the week. So email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your address. And hashtag fan of the week, and we'll send you some free ALN merch. All right? Hell yeah. I think that's it. Fuck yeah. Hope you guys have a great week. And pray for me that I don't die on the cruise. Sometimes people get sick. You know, you always hear about those cruise viruses. If anything, I'm just going to see a lot of drunk New Kids fans fall down the stairs and go crazy during the New Kids concerts. It is incredible. I'll try to capture more of it on social media so you can see it, but I'll for sure do a post-pod recap with Brad when I get back. Of course, go see Brad and Mascots on Netflix right now. It's out, the Christopher Guest movie Mascots. Brad has an amazing scene with Fred Willard. So funny. Fred's going to come on the podcast. We'll talk all about it. But for now, that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, those are the tour dates. That's all the merch info. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Carly Craig.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Are we recording?
Yeah,
sure. Great.
We just started.
Love it.
Did you? Were we supposed to have like a bigger?
I mean, we can give you a grandiose intro.
Yeah,
if
okay.
You want, like, we can just be like, "Hey, everybody, we're here with the About Last Night podcast, your favorite podcast to listen to on your drive home, drive to work, or just as you're going to sleep." Now, the angelic voice you're about to hear in your headphones is the amazing Carly Craig. She's been on Mad TV. She has millions of YouTube hits, and she's one of the most beautiful blonde women I've ever seen in my life. Hello, Carly. Whoa. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast,
what
Carly.
An intro. Yeah.
How about that one? Is that cool?
That was. Extraordinary. Thank you so much.
I don't know
so
where the
flattered.
Hell that came from. I guess I've just
the heavens.
I guess we've just been doing enough morning radio to where I've had that happen to me a bunch of times where someone just goes, "Hey, we got a midget in the studio. How is there no cowbell right now? There needs to be more cowbell."
And you say, "Excuse me, that's little person."
Yeah,
to
just
you.
A little person.
Yeah. I'm so happy to finally meet you, though. This is
Brad. How cool is it to have a guest that's just about your height?
It's pretty invigorating.
Perfect.
And
it's
a large ego boost. I'm not gonna lie. I don't feel like I'm alone in the universe.
We're one in the same, Brad.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
That's gonna be in our vows. am I jumping too far ahead?
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Probably not.
Listen, dream big. It's all about visualizing what you want.
Is that the Florida State motto?
No, that's just my life motto.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
You're big on mottos.
Yeah.
You might be the most upbeat, energetic, positive person I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah. From day one when I met you at Mad TV, you were just like, you were going around to everybody just being like, "Guys, how fucking sweet is this? This is so lit. This is so dope. Look at our lives. What are we doing? Can you believe this?" We would get a coffee from like the coffee machine on the lot. And she's like, "Coffee on the Mad TV lot. Can you believe our lives?" Like every moment was so incredible. But it was like, you want that. I'm 10 years older. I'm like, "Yeah, Carly, it's great, but it's fucking coffee." And then I'm like, "You know what? Why don't I jump on the positive train?
Right.
Like, why am I trying to like play down the enthusiasm?"
That's like Amir. I think it was our first live taping where I was like, "Amir, you're actually showing emotion." And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just so used to like living my life normally. I didn't know that I'm allowed to be excited." I'm like, "This is the coolest thing."
Yeah.
We work so hard to get to this point, and here we are, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're doing it. It was so fun.
And to kind of jump on the back of Adam's point, that's great, because when you're someone that's, an old man like Adam is, who's been in this business so many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I want to take offense to that, but I feel like I have...
You paid your dues a lot. Like, I listen, hella respect, because you've been in the game for so long that I just, I think that was why I was also so excited, was because I was among people that have worked for a while in this town. And so I just couldn't believe that I was
among y'all. You can feed off that experience and energy, yeah.
Yeah, and it forced me to level up, too, because you guys have a certain level of professionalism and you have the experience to, like, you've been on shows before. And that was my first real show, so I was like, okay, I need to just turn down for what? Turn down because I'm the most excited person here, and I'm just too turnt.
But also, Carly would give me a decent amount of flack, because when I had some back issues the last few weeks of Mad, she took every opportunity, and this is when I really was a big fan from the get-go, but then when she... What was the
started
one?
Started treating you as a punching bag.
You started treating me as a punching bag. Every moment I would like stand up, she'd be like, "Are you okay? Do we need to get you a stretcher?" Or like, what did you say? The one.
It was you dropped, like, your microphone fell or something in your back, and you were like, "Oh, something fell down my back." And I said, "Was it another slip disc?"
Wow. Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Shots fired,
yeah.
Carly.
What a little punch from mean, little shitty Florida kid.
Yeah, what the hell? Slip this guy. You hurt your back.
I mean,
I'm from Florida.
To be fair, I feel like being friends with me all these years has sort of prepared you for that moment.
It has.
When someone with a lot of energy and who is much smaller than you comes with a dig, you're like, okay, I've seen this before.
Yeah, this is familiar.
Only now you're much more pleasant to look at.
Yeah, exactly.
So I totally get it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. What was the Mad TV process like for you?
For me?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe that I was there.
Yeah.
I honestly, my whole life, not only just booking the job, but my whole life changed in the course of 6 to 8 months. Like, I just was honestly in shock. But I mean, it was something that I had always dreamt about, to be on a lot like Hollywood Center, which was so neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
if people don't know, that's where they shot I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Bonanza.
Yeah,
for those Bonanza fans out there,
the classic television series Mind of Mencia, of which Brad Williams was a cast member.
Ooh. What? Wait, didn't they also shoot Sam and Cat there?
Yes.
Sam and Cat.
Sam and Cat.
Were you on Sam and Cat?
I was on Sam and Cat.
Stop.
I was handcuffed to Ariana Grande for a week.
Look at this little person. Attached to me.
Oh, see, right now I'm having a little bit of PTSD because, as I've said on this podcast before, being handcuffed to her for a week wasn't the most enjoyable experience.
Oh, my gosh. I need more details.
Oh, I could tell you things.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Don't
get me wrong.
Gift.
I can't tell you a lot of things because I'm pretty sure she has ninjas that are just, like, around the time,
yes,
like, waiting for someone to say something negative about our precious Ariana Grande. And, that's how I pronounce her last name. And so I'm not going to go full detail, but just it was
an experience.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
If you need an outlet, because I do the impression,
yes,
just give me all the material and I'll just, you know, state it all as fact.
Great idea.
Okay, I will tell this one story, and I think it's safe for me to say this. I'm not going to get a blow dart to my neck.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about Ariana.
Wait, what does the dart sound like when it hits you in the neck, though, Carly?
I don't know.
I thought it was gonna like sound like when it hits you. Yeah.
So it's all right. Fire the anti Ariana press dart. Come down.
Yeah.
Well, here was this one story. Is this was like on Thursday, and we taped the show on Friday. We doing rehearsals and all that, and all of a sudden we come back from lunch and we can't shoot when we can't rehearse because Ariana is in her dressing room crying, just having a
meltdown,
emotional breakdown. Yeah.
Yes.
And I am.
She's a kid.
Yeah. And I'm there, like, I'm the new guy on set, so I'm like, oh my god, what do we do? Do we help her? Do we send for a counselor? Like, can we send her flowers? Like, can we get like a.
How do we make this better?
Yeah. Can I put on a Speedo and go dance? That's what always works for my family. I just come down and start like going like, I won't grow up, I won't grow up, and then everyone gets happy.
By the way, I didn't know that was an option, and now anytime I ever get remotely bummed, not even full bummed, remotely bummed, like,
just like
stub my toe bummed, and I'm in a little bit of pain. Brad.
Or if any friend is down, you just send him a Bradgram.
Yeah,
a Bradgram in a Speedo.
A Bradgram.
You know what?
Christmas is coming up.
That's gonna be. We're gonna start a Kickstarter, and one of the levels about how much you donate to this podcast will be you get Bradgrams.
Bradgrams.
You know what? I know that everyone's like, you know, donating like turkeys for people for Thanksgiving and stuff, but
sure,
who's donating dwarves and Speedos? And I know like people who do Christmas caroling, but maybe we go around to families with, you know, who are a little less fortunate with gifts.
Sure.
But before those gifts, they get you dancing in a Speedo.
Talk about paying it forward.
And if you need a companion, I will do it with you.
So she's in her dressing room crying.
She's
so
in her dressing room crying. We're all I'm the new guy, I'm totally freaking out. And then I just look at this producer and I, who's been on the show since the beginning, I go, what can we do? And he just does this big old sigh, shakes his head, and goes, every fucking week.
Whoa.
So apparently this is not an out of the ordinary thing on show.
I think maybe there was a lot of inner turmoil there because she truly just wanted to pursue music.
Yeah.
Sure. Now,
She was 13 on that show? 15?
No, she was 19.
Yeah, oh. she was 19 playing 12.
This was
12.
Recent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh. So
19 playing 12?
Yeah, or whatever the hell. But it was...
Such an old man right just, there. Yeah, whatever the hell she was,
fucking,
I don't know.
There's fucking kids with their...
Some
their...
sort of teenage bullshit. Yeah.
Rap music.
Get off my lawn is what I know about that.
And their snap tweets. I don't know what that is. I don't know what all went behind it. There could be a ton of backstory there that I'm not aware of.
Probably. There's two sides to everything.
Absolutely. So
how did you even decide you could, or fake decide, figure you could do an Ariana Grande impression?
Well, firstly, we're from the same area. She's from Boca Raton, Florida, and I'm from Coral Springs, and they're adjacent to each other. We actually went to the same theater camp at some point, but I don't know that I ever met her when I went there.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, so I found this out later. And then we also have a ton of mutual friends through French Woods, which is a sleepaway camp for the performing arts in upstate New York, which she...
Wait, what?
There's a sleepaway camp. There's a sleepaway camp in upstate New York called French Woods Festival for the Performing Arts, where it's literally a sleepaway camp, except it's a theater camp. So there's like... I worked there one summer, so that's how I met everybody. But the theater department was full, so I worked there as a tennis coach, actually.
Okay. Wow.
So I met that whole clique, and they all know Ariana.
Be honest. How much sex happens at that camp?
I mean, I was in a relationship at the time, and I was there as a counselor. Okay. I don't know what went on with most of the campers, but from what I've heard, it's like where, you know, you become
It's where hand jobs live.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
Sleepaway camp, where hand jobs live.
Yes.
It's also, there's probably just so much singing. Like, there's probably... So many young boys being like, tonight's the night I might see a boob for the first time, I brush my teeth.
I mean, because I went to a theater camp that was up in the mountains where we slept there overnight for a week. And
everybody fucked.
Pretty much. Camp Bravo. Shout out.
Camp Bravo. What was your camp called?
It was Frenchwoods.
Frenchwoods.
Oh,
Frenchwoods.
Your sound
French
wit.
Kiss at Frenchwoods.
Oh, man.
Okay. The counselor life must have been pretty sweet there.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, but the problem was that there was this one bar right across the street, and I would get turned the night before, and then I'd have to wake up at like 7 a.m. and teach tennis in the heat, like during the day. I definitely threw up on the side of the tennis courts a couple times. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah.
Counselor Carly just had a little too many hash browns this morning.
I'm really surprised.
But why does it all liquidy and smell like tequila?
And I was also like, I had just turned 20, so I was like, not even.
Oh,
really,
so yeah, you haven't gotten those drinking years out of you yet.
Exactly. I didn't know my tolerance, and I just
went for it.
And with like all the international staff, like you're making so many friends and just living. So yeah,
and of course, if they're international, they're like, "What? I've been drinking for 4 years, and I'm 20."
So then I try to keep up, and this is a problem I still have. I think that I'm a 200-pound man, so I'll just drink like 4 or 5 beers, and then the next day I'll be like,
I do appreciate that about you. Like anytime we've been out and you just grab a tall beer, I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
I'm half Canadian. I get it from my dad.
All right.
Dad loves to drink.
He does.
My dad's cool as fuck.
Well, yeah.
Oh my God, my dad.
Her dad is we need to get into this, but I want to, the tennis stuff at the camp, how far into tennis were you in your life at that point?
Well, I grew up in tennis camp, like aside from theater camp. When I didn't want to go to theater camp, I would go to tennis camp because my dad ran one. And so I played tennis my whole life. But then when I became like a teenager, I started teaching at home. And then I went up and the theater department was full at Frenchwood. So then I worked in the tennis department.
How were theater kids taking to tennis? Are they receptive or are they just like...
At the camp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be there.
No.
They didn't want to play sports.
No. Why you go into theater, because you can't play sports.
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
But then there were like French...
Adam, we need to have a conversation about that.
But
anyway.
Then there were like kids from France that only came to Frenchwoods to play tennis. And they were like smoking all the other kids, all the theater kids that were like running around trying to keep up. And they were assholes, man, those French kids.
Well, they're French kids. They like they serve while they're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah,
you know?
Talk about
double
people.
Foot.
Yeah. Talk about people.
Forty love. Well, you know nothing of love.
Forty
amour. Just shitty French kids.
Exactly.
So
fucking
dumb.
French kids.
Your dad is one of the biggest tennis pros in Florida, yeah?
Yeah, he's been in the tennis business for over 30 something years. His story is fascinating too. Like he basically just ditched Canada when he was 18 or 19 and was an illegal alien in Florida and just came down, started playing tennis, and built a life there.
Illegal aliens in Florida? That doesn't happen. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you'd think from that story he'd be Cuban or something, but he's Canadian. He's from Toronto.
There you go. So he blended in nicely.
Yes.
Yeah.
He shared some of...
How about those nose there, eh?
How about those nose there, eh? Yeah. What about them?
What a fantastic football. Yeah. It's great.
I love this, like, half Scottish, half Canadian.
I'm not so good on the Canadian accents.
This is where
I'll admit it.
Brad's got a handful of good impressions. His accents. I don't know. What would be your...
My go-to accent? Yeah. I don't know, man.
You said the French one pretty good.
Yeah, French one was kind of on point.
But your Scottish and Canadian blend.
Yeah. Or like, because then if I do a Scottish accent, I really got to go into it, you know, and then you kind of do something like that.
Yes.
But you got to be careful not to go into Irish, which is, I've always heard, Scottish is in the back of the mouth, then Irish is in the front of the mouth.
Oh.
That's what I heard. I don't know. That's just kind of the way they did.
Is it weird doing the Irish accent without wearing the leprechaun outfit?
Very weird. Yeah. I feel like I'm about to go into an audition.
Little out of place.
Yeah, that's half my auditions. Right there. It's like, okay, it's fresh. Like, and I'm just doing something.
Wait, how badly do I wish that they made that that berries and cream commercial all over again? Where berries and cream. I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream, but with Brad.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Berries and cream.
Berries and what else? And cream?
And cream.
Is there an audition, like, you know, like, as like Brad would have to go in for a lot of those? Is there something you got typecasting going in for when you first got out here?
Honestly, I only recently started auditioning. Like, I was working behind the scenes up until, like, this spring.
With a YouTuber.
With Todrick Hall.
Todrick Hall.
The one and only.
Now, as a stand-up comic over 30, I have no idea who the hell that guy is.
He's not really your demo, to be honest.
I'm not even insulted by that. I actually take that as a badge of honor. Like, yeah, I don't know who the fuck these YouTubers are. I got two that live in my building. Fuck if I know who they are.
Yeah, so brief summary on Todrick. He was on American Idol for a season.
Okay.
Has been on Broadway, and he came to L.A. He was on Broadway and quit Broadway to come to L.A. to, like, make a name for himself.
Yeah.
And then he started doing YouTube videos, and then that's where his following kind of amassed.
Okay.
And so I knew him as, like, he did these parody videos, which spoke to me on a spiritual level because they were, like, musical, but they were also, you know, funny.
Yeah.
And he'd play characters, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy is so my jam. So when I moved to L.A., I was like, I want to work for him. And then I basically tracked him down until he hired me, and then I worked with him.
I mean, don't skip over that.
Stalker.
Yeah, don't. I mean, like, is this hiding out in dumpsters?
Don't
is this
stop
going
till you get what you want, even if it means stalking. Wow. Yeah, but you know what? If you were like, that's the thing too. Like, you have to be
aggressive
and attractive if you're going to stalk, and unassuming and sweet, and like
and
if
be
you showed
successful at
it. Like I feel like if you were outside of his place, like, I want to work for you, he'd be like, all right, well, you don't seem too threatening.
Yeah.
I
mean, you know,
I
seem sweet.
Yeah, if you look like, and I hate saying this because I respect the hell out of this guy, but if you look like Louis Anderson and you walk up to,
I want to work for you.
Hi, I want to work for you.
Yeah, you're going to be like, yeah, just one second.
If I can do whatever, it's okay.
It wasn't me camping outside of his house, to
right,
be fair.
Okay, gotcha.
So I auditioned for him. And
For a video.
For a video. Yeah. And I left my PA job that day, and I asked my boss, I was like, hey, do you think I can leave work and go to this audition? Because while I was doing all this PA stuff, I was literally in an office, like, all day long working at this production company. Mm-hmm. And so
which was a means to an end. You were like, this is just temporary. I do not want to be in this world.
Well, it was what brought me to LA. Like, I had the job set up through some FSU alums, go Noles. And so when I went to, when I was working there, I would, like, listen to podcasts, and I would, just kind of be keeping busy while I was doing these, like, tasks, like labeling, you know, tapes and finding stock footage and whatnot.
But so imperative to have something to bring you out, because a lot of people just come out here with no game plan. They're like, now what I do? They're so overwhelmed. But at least if you have, you can minimize the overwhelming feeling by having some purpose, even if it is the office job.
But you're still in the industry. You're still doing something. You're not like that scene from, what's the Eddie Murphy movie, Bullworth? That one, where like
Bowfinger,
Bowfinger. Yeah, why the fuck
how
did I get that
you?
One wrong? That's
how
a great
dare
fucking
you
movie.
Bowfinger,
Bulworth. That, I think
that's Warren Beatty.
Warren
and
Beatty.
The, yeah. Why did I get
not
those
correct.
Two mixed up?
Oh,
yeah, but
not
the scene from Bowfinger where Heather Graham walk up to
yes.
someone and says like, "Hey, where do you go to become an actress?"
Yeah,
like that. I feel that's what a lot of plans are when people come out here. They
and
have
I knew,
no idea.
And I knew that I was gonna move out here and become an actress eventually, but I also knew that I loved production and I wanted to produce my own work down the road, so why not start on the production side and learn that side and then sort of get to know people, build those relationships, and then cross over, which yeah. is sort of what happened this year. But and it actually came very first full circle because that company I work for, Renegade 83, they produced First Impressions with Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
So
oh,
that's how I got on that show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well,
I mean,
awesome.
That's
which
one
is,
of the reasons.
One
also,
of the
you're dope.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, it's crazy, like, to see how it's all, like, panned out and how the relationships that I built when I first moved here are paying off now that I am on a show and so many people in this town want to support me now because they got to know me behind the scenes, you know, making deliveries or doing whatever.
And you were your sweet, personable self with all this stuff, yeah?
Yeah,
where do you get,
I'm the
where do you
same
get that
person.
From?
I'm the same person I was when I was five.
Like, yeah.
I'm just,
you were like this when you were five?
Yeah. I've got VHS tapes and truly like this is so
I've got VHS tapes. That's just such a great like humble brag.
I do. I have VHS tapes.
What do you got? What do you got?
I got hella VHS tapes. Well, what happened was I went home for Christmas and I brought back like 25 of my VHS tapes
yeah.
to digitize them out here
because
yep. I had like the stuff.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose them.
And, right, exactly. And so as I was doing that and I was like kind of in this like weird limbo place in January, you know, and I was watching these tapes and I was like, why am I not like super happy like this kid in these tapes, you know, like because I was in such like a weird phase where we had finished the Todrick show and I didn't really have a steady gig yet. And you know,
you were in a transition. You know what you didn't know what you were going to do next.
Exactly. And so that's when I kind of had to like tap into my own self, you know, spiritually or whatever and figure out, all right, what's my next step? Like what do I truly want? What would this little girl in these tapes want to know?
Wow.
24-year-old Carly is doing today.
And,
so then
and
that's
the answer
sort of
was
what,
sing like Shakira.
Sing like Shakira. So that's what kind of made me kick my own ass to be like, what am I doing here? Why am I in this town? And why am I feeling like I'm helpless when really I can just fucking grab life by the balls and do what I have always wanted to do.
Wow. That is...
That's really self-aware.
Yeah. Very introspective.
Surprisingly self-aware for someone of that age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any sort of like spirit crystals or this was just your own reflect? You know, because
well,
there is... I know people that go to that level.
Well, I did see a tarot card reader.
Right.
And she sort of opened my eyes to a lot of stuff that I was like not in, you know, sort of in denial of or I was just sort of like... I didn't really know what my next step was and I was very lost and I didn't know, you know, what I wanted to do next. And then she was the one that was sort of like, you know, you could harness your own energy and like really take control of yourself. And when you walk into an audition, you need to like block out everybody else because, you know, I'm like so sensitive and I love people. And
yep.
so she opened myself up to myself saying I'm very absorbent of other people's energy. So when I would walk into a room, if somebody else is nervous, it would make me nervous or if somebody,
whoa.
You know. And so then she was like, if you just center yourself and balance your chakras. And,
there,
and
there's
you know,
the sentence I was waiting for.
Yep, and
balance your chakras.
And balance your damn chakras.
The so fuck got, is up with your chakras,
so,
girl?
Right. So
you
I got
serious?
I got my chakras together real fast. And but truly, that advice is what carried me through the whole Mad TV audition process. It was
wow.
like going in wow. and knowing, like owning my shit and being like, okay, I deserve to be here. I need to not worry about anything else because it's so trippy to go to a Mad TV audition. Like,
yeah.
That was insane.
Was it?
Well,
I guess also, too, you were coming from, I mean, you were, when the audition came up, you were still in this kind of limbo position of like, what's my next?
Sort of. So I had, so basically I saw the tarot card reader in January and she
flipped over a card that said, this is the extreme diva card. You
yes.
should do an Ariana Grande impression.
Right, exactly. There you go. This is the lock yourself in a room card and cry for 3 hours. Yeah, so.
Those tarot card readers, real quick, they can be pretty spot on. I've done it once. And it was, like, not so specific to where it was, like, you know, tonight you will wear your favorite blue shirt when you go to the bar and do the jokes about, you know, weed and your nieces. But it was, like, it was the things that she talked about was, like, scarily spot on.
No, she was pulling cards that were insane. It was like the comedy card, the star card, and all sorts of crazy shit that I was like, are you serious right now? And I have an audio recording of the whole session. And so when I was going through the Mad TV audition process, I would like kind of re-listen to it. And it sort of was something that sort of kept me grounded and focused on what I ultimately wanted to accomplish.
Wow. See, I wish that like anyone that saw a psychic could get the audio recording and like 5 years later, like play the recording back. Go, ha ha!
Yeah.
Wrong! Just like walk back. Like,
I wish I could do that, but she was so spot on with everything that it's like, it's really unbelievable. I'm like trying to figure out a way to let it be known that like there's some truth in that.
I think so.
Because it also, it's not, you know, voodoo or anything, you know, witch-like or whatever. It's not like she put a spell on me and then I booked Mad TV. It's like she brought things to my attention that maybe I was in denial of, or I didn't have the awareness to see until it was finally said out loud. And then I had to kind of look back at myself and think about what choices and what steps I needed to take to get to where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Wow. So that was kind of like your pump up, like, you know, like, you know, like for basketball games in high school, I used to listen to, y'all ready for this? So you would listen to your psychic conversation before the Mad TV auditions.
Yep.
I like it.
So when the first audition came to be, you were like, all right, I'm going to get together what impressions, what characters.
Right. And so I was post-mating.
You were post-mating?
I was post-mating.
Nice.
At the time, and I was delivering some Asian fusion to someone on the Paramount lot, and my manager called and was like, hey, you're going in for Mad TV tomorrow. Straight to producer session. And I was like, what the fuck?
Fresh off of First Impressions.
Fresh off of First Impressions. And
you have
I
a
heard,
YouTube video or something that went
I heard
crazy.
That they brought me in because of the video.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, shit. I only really have impressions because I haven't really been doing, aside from my work with Todrick, I haven't really been doing sketch or anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any original characters. So I kind of just took the stand-up bits that I had done and made them into characters like Princess Polly, and I did the world's tiniest hockey player where I literally took my two teeth out and was Jacques, the French Canadian hockey player. And then
you're gonna have to show Brad this trick at one point.
Wait,
if you want to, those
aren't your real teeth.
So these two teeth come out.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was just born without them. Are you ready? Y'all ready for this?
Da-na-na. Okay. Whoa!
It's a cool party trick.
Show Andrew and Brad real quick.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh my god, that's so cool. Isn't that
incredible?
Isn't it so cool. I've been advised to get them fixed, but why would
Carly,
I?
Why?
Don't.
Hey.
No.
Why?
Like, why?
You can't tell. And
no.
Until you do that. And also, that's a great thing for dates if you feel like your date is not paying attention to you.
Yes.
If he's just going on about like, you know, if he's just like, so then like after high school, I really thought I would be a UFC fighter. And then like if he doesn't notice the teeth, then it's like, okay, no
he's
way.
A dick.
You're gone. Yeah. But then if he stops, he goes like, whoa, what the fuck was you with the teeth?
You're the one for me.
Yeah, then you know. it's a great like, are you paying attention trick. Yeah, so keep that.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, I never got my teeth fixed because I was like, when I'm on a sketch show, I want to be able to take my teeth out.
And if you ever have kids one day, when they have little snot-nosed friends that come over that you fucking hate, that then you
scare
could
scare them away.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it'd be so great.
Yeah, no, it's the best party trick.
Wait, so okay, so you're delivering the Asian fusion, and then they're like, you're going in tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So you're like, all right, I'll get these impressions. So, and which ones?
So I
the hockey player, Princess Polly.
Right. And then my third character was Starla, the choreographer, which is basically, it's loosely inspired by that hip hop is terrible, or everything is terrible, the hip hop teacher, where she's like, you gotta throw up and pop. Like, that's hip hop. Hip hop is a lifestyle, it's an attitude. It's what we do. And so I basically brought those three in. And then I did Ariana Grande, Emma Stone, Kristen Chenoweth, and Britney Spears.
There you go.
Yeah. And I did, I think I did, like Emma Stone at a luau. It's like.
So was that her? Was that her playing her part from that movie?
It was just
the Chinese woman that she was playing.
Hey guys, sorry, I'm not Hawaiian. Whoops, what am I doing here?
Emma Stone's one of those impressions where when you think about it in your head, at least when I do, like nothing particularly pops out about her voice to me. So
it's mostly just like the lisp and
the
how deep her voice is.
Yeah.
But
and so, like, was that one that you had worked on before? Like, how did you discover that you could even do that?
I don't know. Okay, so I was posting Instagram videos on on Instagram, obviously. hashtag Carly's Daily Impressions. So I started doing this while I was working for Todrick, and I would just do it on my free time for fun. And they all made fun of me for it, for like posting my impressions or whatever. But then I started getting feedback from all my followers, and so I continued to post them. And Emma Stone was one of people's favorites. And it was sort of a thing where I would just sit and record myself and then figure, you know, watch interviews and see, okay, let me challenge myself. Can I do this? And so when I was planning out my impressions reel, that was one of the ones that made the cut. And then some other ones that people responded to.
I just love the wherewithal to start doing that. Like the fact that you were doing your impressions, and then it's not like someone was paying you at the current time to be an actress or do impressions or anything like that. You're just doing that.
Yeah, because because let's be honest, I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. I was like,
because Mad TV wasn't on.
No,
it wasn't. And there was no sign of it. So the only show, the only option was
SNL.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, well, while I'm working behind the scenes, let me be working hard on my impressions on the side. Get those developed, and then I'll be ready when the time comes to audition for SNL one day.
How do you prep for an impression? Like, we've had Jonathan Kite and Piot and Jeff Richards, and they all talk about their process. What is like the way that you? How does somebody speak to you to go, oh, that's something I could do? And then how do you begin to try to emulate?
Well, it's people that I admire or like love. So because I watch interviews of them over and over, and then I'll just start talking with them until I feel like I sound like them or am matching their tone enough. And then I'll add the physicality and the jokes. And
the physicality is such a big part of it. And you're so incredible at that. Like when you do Kristen Chenoweth, first of all, who does a Kristen Chenoweth? Carly Craig does.
Yes, I do.
and by the way, she just sang the national anthem at one of the football games.
And the Rockets, Red Glare.
And she's this little pixie.
Yeah.
She's just this pixie woman.
She's hilarious.
And yeah, she...
Will you do her laugh?
I am adorable, am I not?
even when you were... Like when you kind of hunched yourself over in the handstand, I was like, man, transformation.
Yeah.
And that is... That's when the impression goes from like pretty good to like
zero
oh,
to
shit.
100 real yep. quick.
And also though, still putting your own twist on it. So because we were talking about this with Piot, where it's like when it's so, what was he saying? Like when it's spot on.
Yeah, he's saying when it's too good, then the audience kind of doesn't hear the jokes because they're more in awe of just like, oh my God, that is perfect.
Yeah.
So Piot has said that he sometimes, and you know how good his impressions are, like he sometimes has to reel it back, like, okay, that's too spot on, now they're not going to listen to my jokes.
Yeah, I mean, but the physicality is the most important thing to me, because like, you know, I grew up in theater, and that's my favorite part about, and when I walked into Matt, I was like, throw me downstairs, have me run into walls, have me get hit by cars, because I love physical comedy more than anything else.
That's what I told my hooker last night, but yeah whatever, it's fine.
Shut up.
Well, like so coincidence.
That's
amazing. Yeah, I mean, I have a big thing for getting hit by a car, but it's actually happened to me 3 times. Weird. Anyway,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was all dwarf related.
Was it at nighttime?
No.
You gotta get those reflector things.
Two were during the day. But it's happened the same. Two during the day was the car just backed up, didn't see me, and like ran me over. And then one was at the Cincinnati airport where a redheaded man was about to be hit by a bus. I shoved him out of the way, and then the bus hit me. And then I flew up in the air like a helicopter, landed, and everyone made a wish because that's what you do when you see a flying dwarf. And then I just kind
of
looked up.
6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, then I just looked up and painted this redhead, and he just got up and left and didn't even thank me. The shithead.
Gingers.
The fucking gingers. I'll never save a ginger's life again.
Yeah.
You hear that, Andrew Santino? If you ever need me to save you, it's not happening.
Yeah. Never going to happen, Andrew.
But yeah. So, yeah. But I just really respect all your. You seem to be aware of things that you need to do to accomplish your goals more than a lot of people. Because a lot of people just seem to get in their jobs and they're like, all right, well, I'll just do this until the vice president of show business walks in the front door and then says, hey,
Yeah.
We need you. And then gives me a role. Like, you actually were proactive in making things happen for yourself.
Well, this is where me being blessed with my dad as my dad comes into play, because he, I mean, if he wasn't a tennis coach, he'd be a life coach. Like,
yeah.
He is legitimately, you know, he'll say this phrase. He'll be like, okay, Carly, there are three people in this world. There are people who make life happen. That's you. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
People who let life happen to them. And people who say, what happened?
Whoa.
I know, right?
Tripping balls.
Yeah, I know. He really is a trip. So he says stuff like that to me all the time. But mm-hmm. he really has instilled in me, you know your value and know the steps you need to take and to be working hard every single day and to be good to people and how important that truly is, because it's so true. So many relationships that I built when I first moved here are now paying off, and it's because I've been a nice person.
You want a piece of shit, yeah.
I'm not a piece of shit Florida kid.
There's a little shitty Florida kid in there, but there's a little shitty Florida kid in all of us.
Yeah.
Did you read that from a fortune cookie?
I did.
when you're auditioning for Mad, like, did you watch the original? Were you a fan?
I was a fan of the original. Yeah. I definitely grew up more watching Saturday Night Live, but mm-hmm. I did. What I love the most about Mad, and which is what I'm sort of bummed that we didn't get to tackle this season, was doing the music video parodies.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Me
the
too.
Trapped in the Cupboard, the Ashley Simpson show,
yeah.
like mm-hmm. anything that has to do with pop culture, like Behind the Music.
Yeah.
I loved those. And so those were the things that I would recite in high school and be like singing with my friends as Trapped in the Cupboard.
If we do a season two, we have to make a strong push to do more music videos.
Yeah, it's a budget thing,
any music
thing,
videos.
I think.
Did we do any?
No one really likes us much with Donald Trump and Hillary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I want to see like pop stars, and I want to be, you know, because that's the most fun. And
That you can do those pop stars. So
yeah. Right.
Front and center.
So I go back and watch some of the classic sketches mm-hmm. just to kind of like, you know, match the tone. And what I learned most when I was watching all of these sketches is I needed to just go in and go off, just let go. And I honestly improvised my audition. Like I knew the beats I was going to hit for each character, but I was like, you know what? I need to just let my spirit be free. Like Karen, my tarot card reader, told me. And just
go, Karen. Shout out to Karen.
And just go in and be myself. And so that's sort of what I did.
And they were very receptive in the room. You remember, like, what was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were laughing a lot and some applause. And I was over the moon because the whole time I'm like, oh my God, am I going to fucking book this?
Yeah, I was going to say, so you hadn't auditioned a ton prior to this, right?
Huh?
You hadn't auditioned a ton prior to this.
Not really, no. I mean, I had auditioned a little bit, but I had just gotten my manager that November.
So not enough to walk out and have that wherewithal to be like, okay, that went great, I'm definitely getting called back, or were you just feeling so good that you're just blind to it and you're like, yeah, that's, I'm definitely gonna
It was one of those things, it was a combination of a lot of feelings, but it was like, okay, I'm definitely on the right path because I've been working really hard at like centering myself and balancing
that's
my chakras. My chakras are all the way intact.
By the way, that's the third chakra reference on the About Last Night podcast, all in the same episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Drink five if you're playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So so my chakras were hella balanced, and then I trusted that this was the path. I was like, oh, I've been concentrating my energy so hard on getting on SNL, and I really have been. I mean, it was one of those things where I literally woke up every day and thought about SNL. I was like,
wow,
because I had heard about Jim Carrey and Oprah and anybody who's implemented.
Oprah want to be on SNL?
No.
Oh.
Like
she had great characters.
She has an amazing story though about The Color Purple and how it like how she thought about it every single day, and then that was like her big break into the business. But anyhow,
there really is that whole like envisioning
visualization and like implementing that in your life full force. And at that point I was so lost and didn't know what my next step was that I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna just go in with this visualization, law of attraction, the secret practices, and see what happens. It was like an experiment almost, where I was like, I'm just going to literally wake up in the morning, think about SNL, and I don't give a fuck if anybody doesn't want to hear me talk about it anymore. I'm just going to think about it all the time. And for the most part, I kept it to myself. But I also was like, I'm going to make this happen. I want to audition this year. There's no reason for me to be scared or afraid or intimidated that I don't have enough experience, because at the end of the day, I have been working with Todrick, who's brilliant and so funny and so creative, and I've learned from him this whole time. So really, I've been through my own sort of comedy school in a sense. I shouldn't be afraid that I, you know, can't book it.
Yeah.
So I would watch interviews with like Jim Carrey and people that have implemented the law of attraction in their lives, and then that's when I really applied it to my own life. And
yeah, Jim Carrey's got that famous story where he wrote himself a check for $20 million for acting services rendered,
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, "I'm going to make $20 million from a movie one day."
Yeah,
and then he did.
And it's so funny because I had the Mad TV logo as the background on my phone during the audition process, and Amir saw it on my phone, and I was like, "Great, this guy thinks I'm a weirdo." You know, later on he was like, "No, I mean, it's cool, and like, you clearly you get it on that level where, you know, you're gonna do that type of stuff and not care."
Yes.
But I was like, "Man, when you saw that on my phone, I was like, this guy thinks I'm so fucking crazy."
Well, how about when you showed me? It was the first day when you were like, "I don't think we'd met." Well, we had met at the Comedy Store, and that's where we met, right?
I met you. No, I met you at the audition.
Okay,
I met you at the audition,
but I was on the show with you. You took the video of me while you were...
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's right. Yes, I know. How crazy is that? I was on Martin Harris's show at the Comedy Store, and you hopped on right before me.
Right.
And then I did a video. This was in, like, November or something.
Okay.
And I did a video backstage, like, lip-syncing, basically, to Adam's set. And I posted it on my Instagram. And then I'm like, that's so crazy. And now we're in the same cast.
Whoa.
And also, it was so crazy because I told you at the audition, I think it was, like, the callback where I was like, "Hey, I don't want you to think that I'm weird, but I love your podcast and I listen to it." I listened to the John Rudnitsky episode like multiple times because he got on SNL at 25.
Yeah,
and I was
like,
let me just do whatever he did.
And his story was so great and being
so inspiring.
Yeah.
And we talked. Yeah. And I remember we talked to him right after it became public.
Exactly. So, and I was so inspired by that episode. And so that was the craziest thing, to like see you at the Mad TV thing, because during my whole manifestation stuff, I was listening to that episode of your podcast over and over, trying to like, you know, really make
soak
it
all in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's so wild how that shit.
Were you nervous at the test after all the auditions?
Yeah, because how many did you have to do?
At the sketches, you mean?
Or like, no, the auditions.
Like how many auditions did you
do? Before the final test.
We did like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think. That was a lot. That was a lot of
and mixing and matching.
Anxiety.
And,
yeah,
for sure.
Was it intimidating? Because you walk into a room like that, it's not just, like, I've walked into auditions before, and mainly because it's like, okay, they want a funny dwarf. I'm pretty much it. Like, and I'm pretty damn confident.
Well, I was, when like, we were doing, yeah, so when we were doing like mix that, and matches, I was like, okay, they're seeing, you know, 12 people today, 12 people tomorrow, 12 people the next day. So that's like 36 people. Okay, do I have a chance in, you know, that amount of people? Then we get to the, one of the like last callbacks, and there were like maybe 13 of us, but I was the only blonde girl. And I was like, wait, am I like the blonde bitch? Am I the one that they're gonna am I that? So
well, and that's something for a show like Mad, you definitely have to take into consideration, because you go like, okay, well, because it's a sketch show, they do need all
types
colors of the rainbow.
And they need someone that can play these characters, they need someone that can play these characters. So I mean, if Adam looked around and saw 5 other dudes that were sort
of back problems.
With back problems and dwarf friends, he'd be like, okay, I'm in competition.
Oh, yeah. This is a lot tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
it really, that test was, I'm just very curious, because it was only the third test I've ever done, but you know, I have 10 years on you in the business. So I'm like, what are the nerves like at those different stages? And for me, like, I felt very like relaxed and confident, but then also like almost more pressure, because in my head I'm like, man, this could be, you know, I never like to use the word game changer, because I don't think anything ever is. You're just continually like stacking the chips and, you know, gig to gig, and everything, you know, feeds into itself and helps the next thing. And, you know, like American people who get American Idol, I guess that's a game changer if you win that, but then it's like, what if you have a number one album 2 years later? Maybe that's the game changer.
Well, more so I was just trying to like pump myself up to the point where I was like, I already booked this. Like, I had to tell myself so that I could have that confidence level. Okay, I already booked it. Let me just assume that I booked it. So, like, let me just pretend that we're going through the motions. It's sort of like a law of attraction exercise.
Yeah.
Is to, like anything that you want, you just pretend that you already have it. You just don't have it yet. So that was sort of what I did with MAD, where I was like, okay, I already have this. I'm just going to show up and do my thing. Because then it, like, lifts all the pressure.
Wow.
It's like you, like, trick your head into thinking that.
But does it lift the pressure so much that you go in there and you're just like, fuck the CW. Pimp, pimp, pimp. That's my impression of you.
Fuck you.
Shitty Florida kid. But no, you're still locked in to, like, do your job, but you're just much more comfortable and...
Yeah, I mean...
That seems like a big... Like, that's easier said than done to adjust your mindset to do that, yeah?
It was a lot, but it was... You know, I'm comfortable enough performing that I was like, okay, I just need to go in and do me. I just need to do that. So what can I tell myself to not be tripping out and being like, oh my God. And the craziest thing was that that same floor, the CW, that office that we did the test, that was where I was making deliveries every day when I was a PA when I first moved here.
Whoa.
Like, John Montgomery was like, oh, you didn't get lost? And I'm like, no, I've been in this building, I mean, over 40 times, because I would be making deliveries of DVDs of these reality shows. And it was one of those things where I walked into those offices and I would see the CW, the big monitors and the shows playing. And I'm like, okay, soon enough, I'll be that. I'll be on those screens. And I thought this to myself while I was making these deliveries in 2013 as a PA. And then we were doing the test, and I'm like, this is so trippy. And it was 3 years to the week.
Whoa.
That we were there doing the test.
What if it was the exact minute? Like, could you track that?
Could you track that?
Karen's like, at 2:42.
Yeah.
In 5 years from now.
I got the news.
Yeah. But that's, like, as you're telling the story, it's just amazing all the coincidences and all the things that, I mean, Steve Martin wrote in his book, you'll use everything you've ever learned. And
it prepares you for the next thing without you realizing it.
Yeah. And then so, like, even if it were to be something simple, like you just being familiar with the building, because while that seems like a real basic thing, if you're walking into a brand new space and now you're doing an audition, you're taking it all in.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, what's this room? What's the temperature? What's it like? Like, all these are factors. But if you're familiar with the building, you're like, okay, now I could just focus on the work.
Yeah.
And just doing the best job I can.
Are you talking about Born Standing Up, by the way?
Yes,
because I love that book.
Yeah, it's required reading for anyone who's ever
had a heartbeat. I think everyone, even if you're not a comedian, you should read it.
Yeah, and it's the most quoted book. In stand up, because every Friday late show, right before the show, they go, "All right, this is why Steve Martin quit comedy. Let's do this show."
Yeah, yeah. That last chapter though about the Birdcage Theater, I was sobbing. Yeah. I was crying so much.
Are you a big crier? Are you an emotional person?
I cry at everything. I'm so emotional. I'm very sensitive. But luckily, I was so happy all summer, so you haven't seen that side of me. But, like, I am very sensitive.
Me too.
To other people. You cry a lot?
No, I don't cry a lot, but I like if Forrest Gump's on TBS, and it's the part when he finds out the kid
or
is
my
his.
My dog, Skip.
I mean,
okay, and
don't
welcome.
Do that.
My dog, Skip. I mean,
I'm just thinking of movies that I cry at every time.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam cried at Sully last week. So, I mean,
I
didn't
did.
Know.
But that's just because the weed was kicking in a little too hard.
Yeah.
And I ran out of gas.
It's coming right at me.
No, it's because the weed kicked in too hard, and I realized I was out of Red Vines.
Fuck.
No, I mean, I cried when I got mad.
You cry when
you get mad? And it was very, like, overwhelming. Like, I think I just wanted
it.
Oh, I
thought you said when you get mad in general.
I do, when I get mad, I
when I get mad, I
come and then I cry. So it's like a whole bag of just crazy emotions.
A lot of bodily functions happening at once.
No, I mean, breakups are really awkward for him.
Yeah.
It's just like, get out.
Coming, crying, vomiting.
Yeah,
mad cum. That's got to be some sort of a show on Truth TV.
Mad cum.
All right.
Okay, wait. Let's start over. So you.
I cried. Yeah.
You cried when you got mad.
Because
you've been working so hard.
That's what it was, and I think I just wanted. You know, there's certain jobs and auditions you get close on, and you just like want them so bad, and I think I didn't realize how bad I wanted it, because when the audition first came, I was like, oh, I really
would love this.
I would love this. And then the entire process, when you just end up putting, I mean, the hours I would stay up working on the sides and memorizing all that stuff and just really spending extra time to not just like memorize the lines, but really really just put everything I could into it, and taking nights off from stand up and just making it such a priority. And then thinking about too, and Brad knows this, like the last like 10 years and the amount of videos and sketches and getting more like familiar with like, oh, this is the world that I've been living in the last 10 years and I want to do it even more. So, and then you just get close. And then, so I think it all just hit me, and then it was overwhelming. Yeah.
Well, you deserve it so much. I mean, that persistence, like, that's, I mean, to be in LA for this long and to be working towards that.
Yeah. But,
and then also, like, not realizing, oh, that's what I've been preparing for the whole time without even realizing it.
Yeah.
And you're writing and doing your own sketches and your own music videos and stand up, everything, and the relationships you have with everybody in this community. So I'm really happy for you too.
Thanks.
Like, and you're crushing it on the show. It's so fun.
The show's so fun. I hope we get to do it for like, I don't know, 10 years.
I know, right? I just want to keep going.
Can you imagine?
So
I'd be 44 and still on it.
I mean, Daryl Hammond.
Oh yeah, is he 44?
I mean,
I'd be 35.
You know, yeah, he's got to be. Old, we get it. We get it. You're young and beautiful in Hollywood. 32. I know I'm a dwarf, so you really can't tell. You're like, he could be 19. He could be 75.
You're
I have no fucking clue. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're not slipping discs.
No, not with that attitude.
Have you had favorite moments so far in the show? Like moments that, like, for instance, like I saw you do your Princess Polly character, and that actually came into play on a sketch. Was there like a moment like that where you're like, wow, this was my character, and now it's being shot and being gonna be shown to all these people?
The whole first live taping was like, I mean, that was so emotional and so trippy. I'm pretty sure I cried that night when I got home and was like, what the fuck did I just do? That's so cool. Because like, to have Nicole Sullivan be like, that was the first sketch I performed, was the Elizabeth Warren, where they put the full neck prosthetic on me and it was so full out. And then all I did was just get jiggy with it on stage as Elizabeth Warren, and Nicole is introducing me and standing by my side. I'm like,
you stepped out of yourself for a minute, right?
Like, yes. Yeah, it was. And also, I was just trying so hard, like, even while I was performing, to not be laughing, because I was just so full of joy that I couldn't contain myself. It was just so cool to be doing that. And that was a huge moment, was just to perform with Nicole. And the whole first live taping day was unbelievable, just to be in front of an audience too, because this is something that I have thought about my whole life. Is I've always said, I want to perform on a sitcom or some sort of live audience type situation that's on TV, like a multicam situation.
It feeds you a lot differently when there's a live audience there, for whatever reason, whether it be like, there's Adam and I certainly have different cadences when we're doing a live podcast as opposed to the podcast. Like, it just,
not candles.
Yeah. I mean, the candles are pretty great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to make these candles laugh, and in my head,
wow.
I think in that's my head, the name of your memoir. They do.
That's the name of your memoir when you've completely lost it.
I'm trying to make these candles laugh.
Okay, we'll be right back with more. No thanks. Please leave.
Shut up, lamp.
Hilarious. No, it's definitely live audience. I mean, doing theater from the time I was 7 years old, I like love being in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. Even, I mean, any show I've ever done, it's like you can rehearse and rehearse as much as you want, but once that audience comes in, it breathes a whole new life into the character, and it really gives you that energy.
Don't you find that in the live tape days too? Like, there's like,
it's electric. Boogie woogie.
Wow. You know what? That's how I know we're kindred spirits. Because, can I be honest?
You were thinking that?
Every time I say the word electric, which is actually quite a bit, because when I'm describing an audience or a show or like a gay, whatever it is, I'm like, oh man, that the something was electric. I always in my head say boogie woogie.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of.
And that's equivalent to Brad wanting to make the candles laugh.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. Whenever whenever someone says, you're the best, in my head I go, around. Every time. Every time. And it gets annoying sometimes because, like, there was one time I was having this like sensitive romantic moment with my girlfriend, and she like did something really sweet for me, and I was like, oh my god, you're the best, and she just goes,
around.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh,
I fucking love you.
I love you.
Here's the ring.
Oh, you're the best. And then she goes, around. I'm like, no, 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 you did it the first time. Yeah, yeah. Fine, you were good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like that, just things happen every time.
She's getting a Brad Graham. She's getting a Brad Graham, dude.
Tonight. Where? Yeah, you hear that, baby? Coming home. Where in the Speedo? Woo! I'm going to have Carly coming up right behind me singing Shakira. I'm just gonna be... la, 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 la. That, by the way, that's one of my sort of joke impressions that I do.
Yeah.
It's not good. But,
can I hear it?
Oh, yeah. It, that's the only part I can do, though. It's and I have to do the arms. Yeah, I have to do the arms.
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean...
And that's like my joke impression. That, like, I know it's not... spot on. I know it's not good. Are you videotaping right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hit me with it one more time. It's the arms.
It's on the arms.
Right. That's my Brad impression.
Well, what's your Shakira impression?
When I go into McDonald's to place an order, excuse me, I'll have an egg McMuffin.
It's better than me. It's fucking better than me. I wanted to have a Shakira off. And I wanted to show everyone that, like, you can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
But apparently you can. Apparently you can. And well done.
What was the song she had that was super famous? It was like,
whenever, land and bender.
Yeah. Wherever.
There it is.
Whenever.
Yeah.
We're meant to be together. I'll be there. Okay, I'll stop showing off.
I get it.
I'm sorry.
Good. You put mine to shame. I get it. La, la, la. The dwarf world is crying right now. They're like, that was one of ours.
Yeah.
We had that.
What would now you do gone. If you met one of the people you impersonate?
I pray I meet Ariana soon. I mean, she's such a gift. Right, Brad?
You betcha.
Every fucking week.
A gift that you hope you get a receipt for.
Oh, wow. Well, no, my, I mean, yeah,
I hope you, Ariana. Come on the podcast.
I hope to meet Ariana. I hope to meet, I would love to meet Emma Stone. I admire her so much and her career. I think that she's amazing.
She's, I mean, like, wow.
She's
like going
it.
From, what was Superbad or
Superbad, that first little like bit part.
Now yeah, she's like an Academy Award nominee.
I'm sorry, but I remember in 2004 when I watched her on VH1, and there was a Partridge Family competition show. They were going to bring back the Partridge Family, right?
I think I do remember
that. At the time, she was going by Emily Stone. So when I saw her in Superbad a couple years later, I was like, that's the bitch who won the part of Laura on VH1 Search for the Next Partridge Family.
This can't be true.
And it was Emily Stone, I'm telling you. And then she was in Superbad, and so everybody says that her first big thing was that, but she really started
on
reality
television. Look at you fact-checking.
The new Partridge Family in 2005.
Obsessed.
You even got the year right. Holy shit.
I'm obsessed with, like, I mean, I've studied celebrity culture and, like, I'm just obsessed with the business and everything, which is what has made this whole experience even crazier. Yeah. Like, I've spent so much time just, like, I live for that stuff.
Well, you flipped out when we went to Universal Studios. You'd never, the studio tour.
Oh, my God.
She'd never been to Universal.
That was the greatest. What? That was the greatest day of my life. I, like, I mean, besides
not,
today. But, like.
Not getting the show. Not losing your virginity.
No.
I don't think so.
Getting an A on the test or whatever.
Nope.
But. Going to Universal Studios.
No, I mean, that was like the best cast bonding, though.
Yeah, it
I mean,
was so
to,
fun.
To go to Universal Studios, cutting all the lines, VIP tour of the lot. And
my buddy, I got my buddy to give us the VIP tour, mm-hmm. and it was so that was even.
And to be with eight comedians, like just running around being assholes, it
just
was
being
so
assholes.
Fun. And
but the tour, like you'd never seen those, like the making the sets and like
Chicago Street, New York Street. I was like, what the fuck is this place? I've never. And it was just crazy because Todrick's house, it backs up to that. Like it's in Universal City. And so I've been working there for years and I didn't even know that this was right around the corner. I'm like, how is there this giant plane from War of the Worlds? And I didn't know this.
Yeah. Just sitting there.
It was just sitting there.
Yeah.
That was so cool, Adam. Thank you again. That was the greatest day.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
It's a trip when you realize that all that stuff is right there and that it's constantly changing and being updated for new shows and movies. Like
and the prop house? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Prop house. What a dream.
Nuts. I shot a pilot once on...
I'm getting re-excited about everything.
Like, I shot a pilot once that was on Wisteria Lane, Desperate Housewives, but then...
Right.
And then, like, I go into the homes and they're all, like, hollowed out. And I'm like, wait, what? It's It's not real.
I know. It's so trippy. It's so cool. But yeah, I had never seen anything like that before. That was so neat.
What was your favorite ride at Universal Studios? You went on everything, right?
Yeah. What do I remember is the question.
Yeah, we were drinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Live and learn. Okay. Yeah, that was so fun. Honestly, I loved the rides, but I did love the most seeing Chelsea in the Harry Potter.
Chelsea Davidson, our fellow cast member.
Yep.
Huge Harry Potter.
She might love Harry Potter more than J.K. Rowling, and J.K. Rowling has made billions of dollars off it.
Yeah.
No, she definitely does.
We went into Hogwarts Analwart Castle. What's it called again?
I don't fucking know. Some Harry Potter shit. But we went in and they did the wand demonstration. And the woman chose Chelsea. And Chelsea was just beaming.
The woman's like, I need to find the perfect wand whisperer.
Master.
Who will be the next Harry Potter? And then she looked at Chelsea. And Chelsea was wearing a Harry Potter tie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how did they choose her? Was the girl dressed exactly like Hermione?
It was just so obvious that she would appreciate it more than anybody else in the chamber.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was so cool. So that was probably one of my favorite parts of the day. Besides, I also really love that water show,
Waterworld. Listening to Jeremy commentate.
Oh my god.
He's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, they can jump off that. They can shoot that guy.
Is she gonna do that?
Oh, she jumped off that thing. She's on fire now.
Oh no, she gonna die. Yeah. She gonna die. Oh no. Oh,
his commentary. Sick.
That's
he's a character in itself.
That
our whole cast
that
is
needs
dope.
To be experienced by everyone at some point. You need to see movies in black movie theaters. You need to just do all that at some point just to be like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Jeremy, you and Jeremy have a really sweet bond. And
I love him.
Where he does a thing where Jeremy is a 6'5".
Nigerian man.
Yeah, 6'4". He's a very tall, hilarious, sassy black man. And then he's got this tiny white girl on his side. He does this thing where he puts Carly on the side. Like, she's like a...
look at this white baby I got from America. But then he added the Nigerian accent.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which takes it to another level.
Look at this white baby. Yeah. I just got America.
I adopted her. We go golfing.
It's so great that you guys get along as a cast and that you gel, because that it comes through in the sketches. If you secretly all hate each other, you couldn't be that free and you couldn't play as much as you do and you couldn't have those moments where you're acting utterly and completely ridiculous and silly, but that's a lot where the funny comes from. So it's fantastic that you guys do all get along, except for Amir. We all hate Amir, right?
Yeah, fuck Amir.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's different. You know, he's not from here.
He's from Iran. I mean, that's
I want to play something real quick of just Jeremy that I remember I have where when he was asking me about voiceover, he's like, I want to get into voiceover. How do you do that? You do all the car commercials and stuff. So I go, Jeremy, do a commercial for Hyundai.
I know what you're gonna play.
This might be one of my favorite things. I watched this like 60 times after we did.
Hyundai, if you guys need a replacement, Jeremy Howard of Mad TV is going to do it for me.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Try our new luxury brand Hyundai. It's got over 36 gallons per mile per hour. It comes in red and green. Drive it. It's very smooth. Hyundai. Live beyond your measures.
I must say.
Is that his voice or is he doing a character?
That's his voice.
Oh my god.
That's him.
I want that man to take all of Morgan Freeman's jobs.
Yes.
Can you imagine him doing March of the Penguins? Oh, they're gonna be a penguin.
Yeah.
You're gonna walk right down and, it's cold there. I don't wanna go there.
I must say that penguin is big.
why all his friends look like the other friends?
They all look alike. I can't tell them apart, I must say.
Is that racist?
He met my mom and was like, he's like, you could be my second 67-year-old white lady friend.
Second.
Yeah. He said he had one in Alabama and him and my mom bonded.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy's great. But I love our little fam. I just want us to keep going.
I know.
Keep working. It's so fun.
It is true what they say. I mean, Brett, I'm sure you found this on Sam and Cat. Like the cast, you become a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's definitely the redheaded stepchild.
Yes.
Carly,
although I will say this.
Yes.
Thank you to Sam and Cat, because now I know how to curse in front of my nephew.
Uh-huh.
And not because
what the fork?
We couldn't say pee and poo
Yeah.
But there's a scene where that was essentially a joke. So instead of pee and poo on Sam and Cat, we said, oh, you take a waz or you take a shaz.
Ew.
Is that worse for you?
That sounds worse.
Oh, man. You,
taking
like,
a shaz is
you don't
like,
just wake up and really enjoy a good shaz in the morning?
Oh, God.
It sounds like a poop or a really bad soda.
Ew. or one of the main characters on Madcom. Pee and Pooh, by the way, should be. I don't know how that has not been like a cartoon.
Pee and Pooh?
Yeah.
I mean,
Shaz and Pizzazz.
Waz and Shaz.
Waz and Shaz.
Waz and Shaz, man. Craziest morning radio show this side of the Mississippi.
Gross.
Waz and Shaz in the morning. Oh, come on in. We got Carly here from Mad TV. Shaz, have you been watching that Mad TV? Hell yeah, I'm watching that Mad TV. Yeah, Shaz over there in the corner having a good time. He's got
Why
a little
is
bit
he
of,
in the corner.
Because he's taking a Shaz.
Total logic.
Ew.
Total logic.
Hilarious.
Carly, you are the best.
You're the best.
You're the best.
This was fun.
This is so great.
Was this a dream come true?
You have no idea. I'm on the same podcast that Mo Collins was on.
Yeah. Did you listen to that episode?
And yes, I did.
It was great, right?
It was so great.
Yeah. And Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes.
All those people.
I mean, Dana Carvey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You got to meet him and hang out with him, right?
Yeah, he's so cool.
The greatest.
He's so nice. I listened to that episode too, like after I got on, after I was on the show, and I was like, I wonder if he'll bring me up in this interview, and then he didn't. But I was like, no, whatever.
I think he still left an impression.
He gets to the part where he's like, yeah, you know, we've got some really talented people that are on the show. There's this one dude who does this. I'm like, oh, shit.
Like, you're like just in there going,
holding my breath.
Mention my name,
please.
I'm like, what about me? There's this one bitch.
she thought she could do an Ariana Grande impression. And if it was to act like a bitch, then she nailed it.
And I was really nice to her backstage, but we all knew she was going to lose.
We close episodes sometimes where we have our guests who do amazing impressions prank call my favorite Thai restaurant.
Yes.
Are you down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who? Chris and Chenoweth?
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Do you mind?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me...
Not at all. I'm from Oklahoma.
Here, do you want me to hold
it? It's the same Thai restaurant every time.
Yep.
You can, yeah. Closer, right?
Hello, hi. I would love to place an order for delivery.
Hello, yeah?
Hello.
Hi.
I would love to place an order for some soup. My voice is a little dried up.
Okay.
I'd like some tom yum soup.
Tom yum soup or tom kha soup?
Tom yum.
Tom yum. What kind of meat?
It's my favorite. I would love some shrimp. Some shrimp?
Shrimp? How spicy?
We love that in Oklahoma. We love that. I'm going to have it extra spicy.
Extra spicy? Yeah, anything else?
Yes. Could I have the Wells Fargo wagon is coming down the street? Oh.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Are you there?
You want something else?
No, that's it, actually. If you don't have the Wells Fargo wagon. I gotta go.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow. She was so confused.
She's very confused. They're always very confused.
I feel bad.
I give them business.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to prank call people in high school, but like I gave up that life because I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Again, that part of me being a sensitive person.
But with comedy, in my last question.
Yeah.
Sensitive in life, but like in comedy, like will you hold back on a joke or something because you're like, I don't want to make that person.
You know, we'll see. I'm still kind of like finding my style. So who knows? Maybe down the road when maybe at the end of my life, when I'm remembered, when my ashes are spread into the ocean, which will be my burial method of choice. I feel like your
ashes would sing on the way out. Like that would happen.
My hands are alive.
But I am not.
Yeah. But I have died.
We haven't really discussed, and we'll do when you come back on, but like, you do have an, like, yeah, you sing, the impressions are, but like, you have an amazing voice, and you were, you want to be on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to be.
I'm so excited to be on Broadway one day.
Yeah, you will be.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then you're going to play Kristen Chenoweth's daughter.
I would love that.
And then I don't know.
You were trying to.
I mean, yeah. I was trying to.
Yeah.
I was trying to. Didn't get that gig, but
it's all right.
You know,
wasn't meant
next
to be.
Time. No. Next time. But yeah. Who knows? Maybe I will become one of those comedians that are just known for fucking going in on people and like being so mean.
Wow, she just turns from super sweet to just like.
All of a sudden, the background, you're like, it's Little Sus. And like all these like devil music starts playing. She's like,
and now it's time to play. Yeah.
I'm kind of scared right now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But who knows? But yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited to get back in the stand up game.
Yeah. You're going to do that with this time off. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. It's time.
You're going to do spots on my shows at Flappers in October.
Yeah. I've been writing. Good. I've been writing, and I'm ready. I'm gearing up.
Love it.
Because now I haven't done my solid five in a while.
Yeah.
So I can bring that back because nobody's heard my jokes in months. So I can just recycle all that. And then I've got new material too because this whole life experience thing is like.
You got to have a life to write about.
I mean, I've got a lot. I mean, right now, sorry, I know that we're wrapping up.
No, it's all good. It's fine. It's fine.
I'm living real quick. I'm living in a guest house and the family is going through a divorce in the main house. And the guy.
Hello, Hollywood. I've got a reality show.
The deadbeat husband came up to me and knocked on my door like 2 days after I moved in and was like, hey, I was supposed to live in this house. I didn't know she was renting it out. And I was like, haha, I win. And he goes, yeah, well, I'm used to being the loser. So
I was like,
fuck, this sucks.
Damn, we're trying to bring a little comedy to you. But,
and that was our first interaction. So now I have many more that I'm writing about because he's always around.
Oh, man.
Wow. Being around for a live divorce, that is not.
Yeah.
Now, you said you like absorb the feelings. Are you like taking on the divorce emotionally?
Yeah. Actually, it's weighing really heavy on me.
Is this going to send you over the edge when we stop this podcast and now we have to go our separate ways? You're like, but things are going so well.
I thought we were a happy family.
Who gets the candles?
No, it's not weighing too heavy on me. I think I've let that part of me go that I've balanced my chakras.
Wait, what was that gang sign you just threw up?
No, it was the number four for the people that are listening that are taking their fourth shot for the fourth chakra.
Nice. Good callback.
I got you.
Well, I have no doubt that you will be successful on Broadway. You'll be successful in stand-up because already seeing what you've done on Mad TV and on this podcast. Podcast. Sorry, I was looking at the phone and said Thai cuisine, so I thought Pad Thai, so I thought Padcast. That's how it went. Get off me!
You're the best.
Podcast Shazcast.
Tune into my new podcast, which is Brad Williams' Waz and Shazcast, which will be coming out Mondays and Wednesdays on the
about Shaz Knight.
About Shaz Knight on the Nerdist Network.
So stupid.
My nieces think you're God's gift to the world, and that's how you know you're really great. Because to me, they have some of the greatest sense of humor. And Princess Polly, they quote it nonstop.
I love kids.
Yeah,
I think kids are the cutest. I mean, I was party princess for a while. I might actually get back.
Oh, that's right.
That.
She was a party princess.
Yeah. Oh, you were the one of those people that came to the birthday parties.
Yeah.
And so like, would
Tinkerbell.
You come?
That's where Princess Polly came from.
Yeah, Princess Polly came from a girl that I worked with that took her job way too seriously.
And was that princess?
Yeah. Where we'd walk up to the house and I'd be like, hi, I'm Carly. I'm here to play Princess Anna today. And she'd be like, hi, my name's Elsa. It's way warmer here than it is in Arendelle. I'm like, bitch, there's no kids around. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can she come on the podcast? That'd be great to interview her.
But, yeah, listen, I might go back to the princess thing because honestly, it gives me so much material. Like,
I was going to say.
Because kids don't give a shit and they think that you're the real princess. They
welcome to my world as Wolverine Universal Studios.
Yeah.
These kids, they're like.
It's so fun.
They're, I mean, all right. I mean, were they shitty to you?
Some shitty kids, yeah. Like entitled siblings that cut the line and want to get their face painted first because their sibling's a birthday kid or whatever.
Oh,
but
boy.
Then, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a whole other universe, the whole princess.
And there's probably drama with the princesses behind the scenes. And like, the, you know, who gets the best party? Like, do I get to go to that Persian palace in Laguna Hills? Or?
Right, who gets more parties? It's all sorts of princess drama.
Wow. Princess drama.
I know.
Where's that? Are you listening, show? E? E Entertainment, make the princess drama show.
I know.
You got, actually a good
you got
idea.
2,200 Kardashian shows. You can't carve out one little half hour for
one
princess
little
drama.
Princess drama.
Let's do it.
It's what we're all missing in our life, really.
I think so. Thank you so much
thanks,
for being
Carl.
Here.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this. And yeah, you're the best.
I love you guys.
I love you.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Hey guys, it's me, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast. It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? Right here on Sideshow Network. Each episode, we look at moments that a joke fails. Moments that we don't want to relive, but we will, because we learn from it, and it's kind of fun, and we're all kind of sadistic. Why Didn't They Laugh? With me, Owen Benjamin, every Wednesday and Friday. You can download it, be sure to rate it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/OwenBenjamin. I love you.